Today, we'll talk about how to avoid lines during Disney World trips. That's coming up on this episode 31 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for this episode. I am excited to talk about this. It's a topic that I thought I had sort of covered and realized that I hadn't in enough detail. So today we'll dive into that. Before we get there, I do want to remind you that you can follow me on social media in addition to the website. Please do follow me at the website and read new posts as they pop up there one to two times a week. But on social media, you can find me on lots of different platforms. Facebook.com/WDW Prep School happens to be my favorite. And that is where I was live updating from my trip last week. And I will talk about my trip here in just a minute because it is what prompted today's topic. I do want to also remind you, as always, that iTunes reviews mean a lot to me. And if you are an iTunes user, please, if you have a moment, leave it a review or rating through the app on your phone or computer. The 5-star review of the day for today is from someone named Fernandez First. And the subject is first-time family vacation. And the review says, I have 2 teenagers, 17 and 14, and it will be our first family vacation to Disney. When I first started researching, I was so overwhelmed, and luckily I found Shannon. WW Prep School has made my planning so very easy. Now we are just counting down the days. Thank you so much. So thank you for taking the time to leave that review. I appreciate it and would appreciate it if other people would do the same. So today's topic is about avoiding lines. And I just got back from a spring break trip with my son. And spring break is different times for different people, but generally it is about the second week of March to the middle of April that Disney considers spring break season. And I do think some weeks are much busier than others. And as you get closer to Easter, you end up running into sort of the busiest spring break crowds because you have the combination of spring break and Easter and everybody's sort of converging at once. And so it can be quite busy. But I had been avoiding it for many, many years because I was afraid of the spring break crowds, even though our spring break is not scheduled with Easter. But we had a fantastic trip. The temperatures were mild. I loved Coronado Springs Resort. And FastPass Plus, this was our second trip using FastPass Plus. I liked it a lot. And it was just a really great trip. And I was posting on the Facebook page during the trip, sort of live updating. I didn't go into the trip thinking, I'm going to live update on the Facebook page. But there were a few things that sort of made that happen. One was Wi-Fi at Disney World has been upgraded, and it's really, really fast. And so I was able to actually upload videos within seconds. I would take them, hit upload, and within just a couple seconds, people were watching it. So it was almost live. You know, it wasn't a live stream, but it was just barely delayed when I would upload those videos. But also, there was Facebook has also been great because they now process videos very quickly. So that helped. And then third, it was the response from people that loved being able to play along. And I hadn't really thought of that ahead of time. I didn't know I'd be updating quite so much, but people love sort of living vicariously through you. And one of the things that people really, really commented about a lot and noticed was how much we got done. And for us, it's routine. This is what we do on every trip. We know how to tour. We know, you know, how to avoid lines. And so we do it every time. And I thought that I had explained that because I have touring plans and I have planning advice and all this stuff. But I guess for people to see it in action and see us actually doing it and riding so many rides within the first couple hours made it a reality. And so I thought today that I would just sort of hone in on that topic and avoiding lines. If you want to see a full trip report of our spring break trip, where I talk about our thoughts on Coronado Springs Resort, FastPass Plus, my thoughts on traveling during spring break, etc., I will link that in the show notes, but I did just publish it. And so you can go and read more details of that there. So as we dive into this topic of avoiding lines, I think when most people think about avoiding lines, they actually only think about avoiding lines on their rides. But there are a lot of opportunities to run into lines. And so I'm going to touch on different areas, including attractions. And, you know, I think that Disney World is an incredibly popular destination. So anytime you have a lot of people converging in one place, you're going to have lines for all kinds of things. And so I just want to kind of give you some of my tips about avoiding lines in all these different areas. So the first is, if you're staying at an on-site resort, you can avoid check-in lines by checking in ahead of time. And you can do that up to 60 days beforehand. And that just involves logging into your My Disney Experience account, and you fill out your room requests, and you can make sure you have a credit card on file and all that kind of stuff. And you just sort of take care of those steps before you get there. And when you arrive at your resort to officially check in, there is a separate line just for people who have done the online check-in. Most people don't plan ahead, so that line is almost always shorter. I have one time run into a time when that line actually took a little bit to get through, but almost every single time it's shorter and they'll have all your paperwork ready. And usually within just a couple minutes, we are on our way to our room because we've already done stuff online. Now, people say to me, is there a downside to doing the resort check-in? And the only thing I can think of that actually would be a downside is if you're hoping to get an upgrade. You know, like some people like to sweet talk the person at the desk and say, oh, but it's my anniversary, it's my birthday, it's whatever. So I don't know. I mean, if you want to take your chances and try to get an upgrade like that, you might want to wait and just do that. Do everything at the physical in-person check-in as opposed to doing it online. We make very few requests. And so I just like to do it online and get checked in when we get there as quickly as possible. So that's step one, is for the resort check-in. Step two is, or I guess it's not a step. I'm so used to doing steps that I'm actually calling these steps. Number two is dining. So dining is very, very busy. And actually on our last trip last week, our longest line was a line that we stood at lunch. And I knew we were going to be in trouble because we ate later than normal. And so this is definitely something to look for. So this applies to quick service or table service restaurants. Both can have lines. And even if you have an advanced dining reservation at a table service restaurant, you can have lines. And so what we actually did this week was we checked in early to all of our table service restaurants, and we were able to get in early and get in quickly because of that. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you that will always work. The fact is we only had two people, which is much easier than four or six or whatever the number is, because tables for two are easier to find. And some restaurants are just really at capacity. And so it's hard to fit them to have you in early when they've already got other people that need those spots. But we actually did check in early to our reservations, and we were able to get seated. When you are making your reservations, I would recommend trying to make them at off-peak time. So for lunch at like 11, 1130 or 1:32, those are off-peak times. And then for dinner, anything like 4 to 5 would be off-peak. And then later as well, like 7, 8 or something in that range would be less busy than the peak times of noon and 6. You know, those are the busiest times. Even with reservations, you can have a wait. And the same applies to quick service. So we often will have quick service at 11, and then we'll have a table service for dinner at like 4, 4:30. And I know it's not ideal, but you know, you're on vacation and you can sort of create a new normal while you're there. And it'll allow you to not be in those lines. The line that we waited in last week was at Flame Tree Barbecue, a quick service at Animal Kingdom, which I really love. But because we were there around 12:30 or 1, we ended up in this really long line and it took a while to get our food. So, you know, I knew what I was getting myself into, and we had just gotten on a different schedule than normal. And that's what happens when you do that. So think about avoiding lines with dining as well. Area number three, and the most popular area for people wanting to avoid lines, is regarding touring and avoiding lines on rides. Okay. So the way that you avoid long lines when you're touring is, first of all, to show up early. We are always at the bus stop at 8 a.m. every day. We just do that like every trip. That's how it works for us. Occasionally we sleep in, but it, you know, the general rule for us is 8 a.m. we're at the bus stop. And then that puts us to the parks around 8:20, 8:30, something like that. And so we're kind of, you know, towards the front of the line. And then we can get in the parks and get going right away. And within the first 2 hours, we can get all of our favorite rides or all the most popular rides accomplished easily. And so, you know, you can usually average about 3 or 4 rides per hour, depending on which park you're in and which ride you're talking about. But, you know, you can get all those done within the first couple hours. And so my preference is to get there early, do that. And then after lunch, you can be a little bit more laid back. And so after lunch, you can use FastPass Plus reservations to ride things or do things that are less popular, you know, that kind of thing. So that is, that's the basic gist of it. And I know that sounds really simple, but that's how we do it. And there are certain rides that are higher priority than others. And I have maps that come with the ebook that I have for sale on the site. And these maps each print out on one piece of paper, and you can tour with them. They have all the information on them to tour. And all of the attractions are color-coded so that you can see which ones to go to first. And so the high-priority ones will say, are in red, I think it is, and they say to visit those between 9 and 10 o'clock or later with the FastPass Plus. And so it's just a quick visual, like, okay, you know, it's 10 o'clock. What do I need to do next? So even if you don't have a touring plan exactly, these maps are a great reference. I'll link to those in the show notes. So if you're interested in having those and printing those out at home and taking them with you, you'll have them. And as long as you follow those suggestions, you should be able to avoid lines in all the parks. And I'm trying to think. I think our longest line was 20 minutes. And that was the absolute longest. And everything else was generally 5 to 10 minutes. We just don't wait in lines. So a lot of people were saying, well, how are the crowds? How are the spring break crowds? And we just don't notice it. And we have been in the summer. We've been in holiday weekends. We've been now spring break. I mean, we've done all different things. We just don't notice the crowds because by the time they arrive, we're done and we're already in a more kind of leisurely pace and just sort of, you know, doing things that aren't busy anyway. So it just doesn't really matter. So if you follow those sort of general plans, you should be okay. Okay, I hope that clears it up. Okay, next category is transportation. So there's, you know, different opportunities for you to run into lines of transportation. And one of those is at the end of the night with the nighttime entertainment when everybody watches the fireworks or the show, and then they want to go home or go back to their hotel. So 3 of the 4 parks have nighttime entertainment. Animal Kingdom doesn't right now. In the future, they likely will. But so to avoid it, here are some of my tips. The nighttime entertainment can all be viewed from areas that allow you to exit the park first. So at Magic Kingdom, when you're watching Wishes fireworks, I like to watch Wishes fireworks from the front of the park. It gives it, you can see the castle, you can see the fireworks, everything's right there, and you can exit the park right away and get to the bus stop or monorail, however you're getting home, to leave the park before everybody else does. That's at Magic Kingdom. At Epcot, for Illuminations, people stand all around the lagoon to watch it. But if you stand on the side of the lagoon that's closest to the exit, you can walk out first. And so there's lots of places to view Illuminations that all are perfectly fine. So if you want to get out first, then that's, you know, a good way to choose your location and allow you to get out before the kind of crowd hits the bus stops. At Fantasmic, at Hollywood Studios, when you come in to the Fantasmic Theater, you come in from the upper left. When you exit, I recommend going out the upper right. And in fact, maybe even sitting on that side so that you can walk out as soon as the show is over. I think most people, because they come in upper left, will think they have to exit upper left, but you can exit upper right. And that's actually been a quick tip of the day in a previous episode, but this applies to this idea of avoiding lines for transportation as well. So sit near the upper right, exit the upper right, and then you can get out and get to the boat or car or bus or whatever as soon as possible. I do think you also should consider taxis. And so if you run into long lines for buses then go ahead and consider getting a taxi to your resort just to skip that line, because sometimes those lines can be quite long. There are certain resorts that seem more prone to these long lines than others, like Port Orleans Riverside is kind of known for having issues. And you can go to the Port Orleans French Quarter line and ride their buses and then just walk back over to Riverside after that. It's a bit of a walk, but it's better than waiting in a 1 hour bus line at Magic Kingdom, for instance. So anyway, that's regarding on-site transportation. And there is, so the airport lines sort of fall into this category of transportation as well. And I need to bring this up because the Orlando International Airport is one of the busiest in terms of the security lines that I've ever experienced. And I've been to a lot of airports. I live minutes away from DFW Airport, which is one of the biggest airports in the world. And I'm familiar with busy airports, but Orlando often has the long lines. And so sometimes, you know, for most of us, there's not much we can do about it other than allow plenty of time and make sure you get to the airport early enough to get through those security lines. But they do have an option called Clear, and it's a service you can sign up for. And their website actually says that they are a fast pass for airport lines, which fits in nicely with the Disney discussion. And so what happens is you go online and you pay a fee. I think it's a yearly fee, and you can pay for you, and then you can add your whole family for an upcharge. And it allows you basically to go through a different line. So most of us go through the regular security lines, which can be quite long sometimes. The people who have Clear have already entered information ahead of time, and they go through a special line that says Clear. And it's short because not that many people use the service, and it's just like a fast pass where you have something most people don't, so your line is shorter. So if you want to make it easier and get through the line quicker, then I would check into Clear. I'll link to it in the show notes so that if you're interested in this, then you can sign up. I always forget about this, and every time I'm there, I think, why didn't I do this? I'm at this airport all the time. It would save so much time. Luckily, last week we didn't have a long wait, but you know, other trips we've had very, very long waits, and there are always people in line with us who are frantic because they're pretty sure they're going to miss their flight, and that's a really bad spot to be in. So if either allow yourself plenty of time or get Clear and you can get through more quickly, just something to consider for airport lines. Now, I think that's going to wrap up my general discussion about avoiding Disney World lines. I do have a quick tip of the day, and it is a little bit of a rant that I've been on recently. One thing that happened during our spring break trip, and this is something I've noticed over the years, but it really stood out to me on this trip, was that people had little kids waiting near rides like Soarin'. Soarin' has a big area of benches where people can sit and wait. And so little kids that are not big enough to ride Soarin' are often left there with other adults while, you know, the other part of their group rides the ride. And these kids were fussy and antsy, and they were tired of sitting. And it really frustrated me because you are at Disney World, and there is no reason to make a little kid sit. There are plenty of things nearby, and you don't have to go on a ride if you don't want to, but take little ones somewhere else. There are things to explore. There were three different playgrounds at Epcot when we were there because of the Flower and Garden Festival, and they were set up specifically for little kids to, you know, entertain them, and they were lovely. And, you know, you can just walk around. There were flowers everywhere. You could show them the flowers. You can go to, you can go on a ride if you want to. You know, there's so many things to do. Don't make little kids sit. I have an article about how to do rider switch on the website, and it explains parent to parents how to take turns riding bigger rides. And, you know, Disney has a program called Rider Switch that allows you to do that. But in that article, I have a chart of things to do nearby while you're waiting. So for instance, if one parent is riding Mission Space, the other one could be in the exit area of Mission Space because there's a big play area, basically. It's sort of an indoor playground, kind of. And, you know, play. go play. Don't sit and wait, especially, you know, most of the time Orlando is quite hot. So, you know, don't make them sit outside on a bench or anything. Just go inside, play while you wait for the other person to get off. And then you can take turns and the other person can ride while the other parent takes over and plays. But I mean, there's just so many things to do like that. There is absolutely no reason to make a baby or toddler sit and wait. There just isn't. You're at Disney World. Have fun. I think that is going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the show notes, links, everything that I've mentioned in this episode, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode31. That is the number 31. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.